Welcome to the class on relationships. This is relationships class two. We are going to cover the four main parts in relationships. In class one, we really talked about how relationships are really just thoughts that you have about the other person and how important your relationship is with yourself. And that's really the thoughts you have about you. My mic is like caught in there. And how important it is to work on your relationship with yourself if you want to develop relationships that are really healthy outside of yourself. And a lot of times people think they need to be working within relationships on the other person in order for you to make progress in the relationship. And that is not true. Doing relationship work on yourself mostly will improve your relationships tremendously. And what happens to so many of my students, so many of my clients, is as they start doing this relationship work on themselves, they start thinking that other people are changing. This person's become so much more reasonable. This person's become so much kinder. This person is showing up in a different way, when really you're the one showing up in a different way. You're the one responding in a different way. You're the one thinking in a different way that's changing the relationship. So today we're going to talk about a concept that I came up with a decade ago when I was first really coaching people on relationships and really helping them understand how much they were like debilitating themselves and their relationships by the reason that they were in a relationship in the first place. So you have to think about, what is the reason why you're in a relationship? And a lot of us don't ever really think about that. And there's this unconscious desire for many of us to have another person make us happy, to have another person create an experience for us, to have another person take responsibility for how we feel. And if we're not aware that we're doing this and we don't pay attention to this, we will end up creating what I call manuals for other people to follow so they can make us happy. So for example, you may choose a mate in your life to spend time with because you think that being with them will make your life better and happier than if you weren't with them. A friend you may feel like makes your life better. A child makes your life better. Now, that sounds great. In theory, this sounds like wonderful that you can basically go in and develop a relationship with someone and they will make your life better. But it is a terrible idea if you're not conscious that you're doing that, because other people do not have the ability to make us happy. They literally don't. And if you think about it, happiness is an emotion that you create with your thoughts. Your thoughts create your feelings. Other people cannot create your feelings. Now, other people can make it easy for you to have positive thoughts. Other people can offer you positive thoughts to think, and that can make you happy. But if you don't understand that that's what's happening, you're going to think that their presence or their actions are what are making you happy or not, and you are wrong. For example, my friends, let's say you're in a relationship with someone that you live with, and you think the way that they clean up after themselves, or the way that they take the garbage out or don't take the garbage out, or the way that they handle the noise on their phone, or the way that they eat food, you will think that that either creates a level of happiness inside of you or unhappiness inside of you. And when you start thinking that other people's behaviors create your feelings, you start writing a manual for how you would like them to behave in order for you to be happy. Now, here's the bad news about this. Most of you don't even share the manual with the person that you've written it for. You don't even let them read it. You don't even let them know what they need to do in order to make you happy. You're just very angry and very controlling when they don't do what you want them to do. For example, you want them to show up on time. You want them to be kind to you. You want them to say nice things. You want them to remember your birthday. You want them to text you back. You want them to call you regularly. Manuals. You want them to chew with their mouth closed. You want them to drive more slowly. You want them to make the reservation. You want them to think about picking up the kids from school. Lists and lists and lists of unconscious, unspoken manuals. Now, a lot of you are sitting back and going, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I can't ask these people in my life to do these things. Of course you can. You can ask them to behave in any way that you want. But here's the problem. They're going to behave how they want, period. They're going to be the human that they are, period. And there's nothing you can do about it. Now, you can try to control them and you can try to make them do what you want them to do, but they're not going to be good at it. Have you noticed? People aren't good at what we want them to do. They aren't good at making us happy. And so we end up looking at this manual and seeing how they're not following it and using that as a reason to be unhappy. So one of the suggestions that I have for all of my students is that you write down the manuals that you have for other people in your life, your closest relationships, but even for strangers. We have manuals for strangers. And what you need to realize is that this operating manual that you have for this other person that they're not following is causing you so much unnecessary suffering. So when you look at this thing and you look at all of the ways that you want them to behave, I want you to imagine that somebody has a manual for you. And by the way, spoiler alert, they do, because they're humans too. Okay. And they give you this manual of how they want you to behave so they can be happy. Now, how do you feel about this manual? How do you feel about these operating instructions on how you need to behave in order for this person to be happy? How does that feel for you? Now, for many of you, it feels constricting and awful and resentful and terrible. And that's the exact thing that you're doing to the loved ones in your life. Okay. So you coming to me and you're like, okay, so if I want someone to do something, I shouldn't tell them. Yes, you should tell them. That's step one. You should, if you have a manual for someone, you should at least tell them what it is. But where you're running into trouble is when you're hanging your happiness on whether they do it or not. Human beings are going to do what they want with their lives. It is not their job to make you happy. That's your job. And as soon as you release people in your life from the manuals that you have for them, you are going to be set free. And it doesn't mean that you don't ask someone for something, or you don't tell them, I would love it if, or you set expectations for them. But what is not useful is to make, whether they do it or not, your emotional life. Most of the suffering in relationships comes from people not behaving the way that you would like them to behave. And if you can just stop having manuals for them, and let human beings behave the way they want to and take responsibility for your own happiness, your life will change completely. So let me give you an example. If you say to someone, maybe your mate, you say, hey, I would love it if you would take the garbage out every Tuesday. Garbage guy comes every Tuesday. It would be great if you take it out. Now, Tuesday comes, they don't take out the garbage. You ask them to. You have this manual for them. Now, that is your moment of truth. What you make them that mean when they don't take the garbage out will determine the quality of your moment and the future of your relationship in that moment. And what so many people choose to make that mean in that moment is that that person doesn't care, that that person isn't responsible, that that person expects you to do everything, that that person doesn't love you enough. The list goes on and on. And as you make that little trivial manual item in your book mean something huge, you deteriorate the quality of your relationship. Now, let's say you decide, hey, I asked them to take it out, but I'm definitely not going to let my happiness, my joy, my connection with this person be determined based on whether they follow my manual or not. So instead of thinking they don't love me, they don't care, they don't pay attention, they expect me to do everything, I'm going to think maybe they forgot. Maybe this has nothing to do with me. Maybe this has nothing to do with the quality human being that they are. Maybe they simply forgot to take the garbage out. Period. And we don't make it mean anything. I had a client one time, and her husband was constantly coming home from work late. He would say that he would be home at 5, and he was constantly coming home at 5:15 and 5:30 and 6. And I asked her, I said, why is this causing such a problem in your relationship? And she goes, well, he just doesn't respect me. He just doesn't care about me. And I said, okay, let's really dive into that. Is that really the case? Do you think that your husband is saying, I don't respect my wife, so I'm not going to go home on time? I don't care about my wife, so I'm not going to go home on time. And she said, oh no, that's definitely not what he's thinking. I said, what is he thinking? She said, he's thinking about work. He's thinking about getting his job done. He's thinking about doing a good job at work. And I said, so when I ask you these questions, you realize that that's what he's doing, and yet you make it mean he doesn't care about you? Why? Why do you do that? And she's like, I didn't even realize I was doing that. And so every night he would come home from work and she would yell at him. And I laughed. I said, do you think this makes him want to come home from work earlier when you're yelling at him when he comes home from work? And just that one little shift on that one little thing made such a huge change in their relationship. Because all of a sudden, the thing in the manual became less important than the connection, the love, the communication. Now, a lot of times our communication is so desperately controlling because we think other people can influence our emotions. But the truth is, you can influence your own emotions so much more powerfully than anyone else. It's okay to have expectations of people. It's okay to tell people what you like. It's just not okay to be miserable when they don't do what you want them to do and make it mean something that it doesn't mean. So I'm always encouraging my students to be really clear with what they want. Okay. And so if I'm in a relationship with you and we're friends, I'm going to say, here's what I want more than anything. When you text me, I'm probably not going to text you back right away. I'm not usually on my phone. I don't check my texts a lot. If I read a text while I'm doing something, I'll probably forget it. So what I really want is you never to get mad at me if I don't return a text. That's what I would love. Now, she may or may not agree to that. She may or may not do that, but I tell her what I want. And I tell my friends, I want you to be on time. If you tell me we're going to meet somewhere at 5 o'clock, I really want you to be there at 5. I'll be there at 5. I really want you to be there at 5. And I really want you to, you know, not be on your phone the whole time we're spending time together. I really wanted to spend time with you. Now, she may or may not do that. I have one of my friends. You know who you are, my friends. She'll be on her phone the whole time. She's like, you are like my mother with this phone. I'm always trying to tell her, get off your phone. Be here with me. Stop taking pictures of me. I'm right here. Why do you want to look at a picture of me on your phone when you could just look at my face right here? Right. And so I say a bunch of expectations, but I don't get upset when she doesn't follow through on them. And I don't make it mean we can't be friends. And listen, for the love of everything, if you want your mate to do something on your birthday, tell him. If you want him to get you flowers, if you want him to take you out to dinner, if you want to go on a trip, tell him. For the love of everyone, tell him exactly what you want. It's the best way to ensure. And then if he's forgetful, you got to remind him, my birthday's coming up. Remember, this is what I want. This is what you should do. And people are like, oh, I don't want to have to tell him what I want. He should just know. Well, how is that working out? It's not. The trick, the difference between having expectations and having a manual for someone is expectations are not demands. I would love for you to do this. I expect you to behave this way, but I'm not going to let my happiness be dictated on whether you comply with the life I want you to live. Now, I came up with this concept, and this is a really important concept for you to understand in relationships. If you express your wants to another human being and they express their wants to you, you can see where you have overlapping want matches. We call it a want match. So if I say to you, hey, I want to make sure that we're going to be friends. I want to make sure that you're on time. And that person's like, I want to be on time. I love being on time. That's not a problem for me. Want match. I want to spend every single day with you. I want to spend every single day with you. Want match. I love going and playing pickleball. I want you to always come play pickleball with me. I love playing pickleball too. Want match. So all of a sudden you see where all your overlapping want matches are. The more want matches where I want and expect something from you and you want and expect that same thing of yourself, we got a want match. I'm dating someone right now. I want to be 100% faithful to him. He wants to be 100% faithful to me. Want match. If I'm dating someone that wants to date other people and I want him to be faithful to me, we don't have a want match there. No, it doesn't mean we can't date. It just means what I want is not the same thing he wants. When you get into relationships and you understand where your want matches are and where they aren't, you can decide, is this a relationship that I want to be in? Because I understand. I don't want to have to be on time. If someone in a relationship said to me, I don't want to have to be on time, that's a problem. Like my want is that you're on time and your want is you want to be able to be late. We got a problem here. So I can decide, okay, I'm willing to be in a relationship with you, even though I know you're going to be late. Done. We've expressed our want mismatches too, and we've accepted them. So make sure that you aren't forcing someone with your manual to honor your want match if it's not their want match. And that's a really important thing for you to do. So if you go through your manual that you've written up for the people in your life and you show it to them, how many of these things are want matches for you? How many of these things do you want to do that I want you to do? And which are the things that you don't want to do that I want you to do? And what do we do with that information? It's a really powerful exercise to go through. Now, if any of you are like me, you would call yourself a people pleaser. And this is one of the most, I would say, dangerous places to be within a relationship because you are basically a liar. People pleasers are liars. What we do is a bunch of things other people want us to do, even though it's not a want match. We show up on time, or we put up with them being late, or we go to concerts that we don't really want to go to, and we go to, you know, charity events that we don't want to, and we donate money where we don't want to, and we keep the house clean at a level that we don't even want to. And all of a sudden we're in this relationship where there's so many mismatched want matches that I'm constantly having to people please, which means I'm doing things that I don't want to do and lying about it and pretending that I want to do it. And that kind of relationship creates so much animosity and resentment that may not even be conscious. And so it's when someone else has a manual for you and you're following it literally against your own will because you're people pleasing. And you want that person to like you, love you, be with you, accept you. And what I want to offer, and this comes from very personal experience, if you are acting in a way that is out of integrity, that is a people pleasing lie, and that person likes you for that thing, they don't even like you. They like who you're pretending to be. They like a version of you that isn't even you. And you know it. And so you're basically having a relationship with a pretend version of yourself. So you can't even experience the true connection and true love that you could if you were being honest. Now, there are things that you want to do simply for the other person. You wouldn't want to do them otherwise, but you want to do them for the person because you love them. That's different than doing something that you don't want to do so they will like you. I'm going to say it again. It's a very important distinction. There are things that you may normally not want to do, but you want to do for that person because you love that person. I love this person. I want to do this for them. That's very different than people pleasing, which is doing something so they'll like you. And let me tell you why this matters so much. Those of us who people please, we do it for the payoff of being liked, for getting approval. And if we're doing something, we're people pleasing somebody in order to be liked, and they don't like us properly because of that thing that we did, we are going to be so filled with resentment, so filled with anger. And we may just keep pushing it down and keep pushing it down, but it will affect the relationship tremendously. So if you're doing something that you don't really want to do, or you normally wouldn't want to do it, you have to ask yourself, am I trying to manipulate this person into liking me? Or am I doing this out of the genuine goodness in my heart? And even if they don't acknowledge it, even if they don't like it back, even if they don't pay me back, even if they don't do it back, it won't matter. Because so many relationships are filled with people pleasing each other. So they're not even finding their want matches and connecting on their want matches. They're both people pleasing each other, doing a bunch of stuff they don't want to do for each other. They're both miserable. They're both resentful. And they're both trying to control each other because they're trying to one-up each other. Well, remember that thing I did. Well, remember that thing I did. Well, remember that thing I did. And you'll know that you're doing this because you'll sound like this in a relationship. Well, I would never do that to you. Remember this? Remember how I acted? You should act that way too. A wonderful relationship, in my opinion, is a relationship that doesn't have a manual that isn't a want match. A wonderful relationship is we understand our want matches, and that's where we connect. And on the areas where we don't have want matches, we let it go. We let you be you. I love you no matter what. I want to connect with you on the things that we want the same. And on the things that we don't want the same, I want to set you free. And I want to set me free from that thing. Because I will say to clients all the time, do you want your husband to do that thing even though he doesn't want to do it? Do you want him to do it just to get your approval? And sometimes they'll say yes, even if it makes them miserable. And then you have to really question yourself, what is the purpose of this relationship? Why am I in a relationship with this person to extract out of them everything that I want from them, whether they want it or not? Or am I in a relationship to enhance our lives, to grow, to find our want matches and to double? When you find your want matches, you double the joy that you can have in your life with another person. So ask yourself that question. Am I telling myself the truth about what I want? Am I telling them the truth about what I want? And am I letting them be the human being that they are by not having a manual for them? By letting them be truly who they are in the world? In our next session, we're going to talk about lovability and unconditional love and what that really means and what that really can feel like in your own life. And when you're in a relationship where you love someone for who they are, not for who you want them to be, not for what you want them to do, not for their potential, but just purely for who they are, that is the kind of love that makes everybody just take a deep breath, that makes everyone feel safe, that makes the connection so much deeper and so much better. And when you do this work with your partner and you find out that they have a bunch of things that they've just been doing to people please you, and that you don't need them to keep doing any of the things that they don't want to do. And this is what I tell my partner all the time. I'm like, I don't want you doing a bunch of stuff you don't want to do. I don't want you to build up resentment. I don't want you to dread being around me. I don't want you to feel like I'm demanding something that is not true to you. I want to be with someone where we have enough want matches that we're in so much pleasure doing the things that we want the other person to do and that they want to, and that we can let the rest of it go. And yeah, it would be great if you loved buying me flowers all the time, but that's not something you want to do. You don't even like flowers. So don't buy me flowers if it doesn't bring you joy too to do the thing. I don't want you to do something just for me at your own expense ever. And when you can walk through relationships like that, what it also does is it allows you to tell the truth. I don't want to do that thing. I don't want to go to that hockey game. I don't want to go to that wrestling match. I don't want to go walk in the park with you. Good, don't. I would love for you to come, but only if you want to come. I don't want you doing stuff against your own will. Throw away your manuals, my friend. First of all, acknowledge that you have them and acknowledge how much pain they're bringing you. Throw them away. Find your want matches and then make sure if there's something that you want in a relationship that you're not getting, that you don't make it mean anything about the relationship or the other person. You just make it mean something about you, because that you can control and that you can clean up.
Hello.
What's happening?
It's the relationship I have with my mother.
Okay, perfect.
And I am at a point now that it's very difficult for me to call her on phone. It's the only connection we have. We are basically seeing each other once a year, usually for Christmas. Okay. I used to be very close to my mother, and now it's just like, I know I have to call her to have some news. She's 82 years old, so she's getting older. Mm-hmm. But it's such an effort for me to call her, because I have the feeling that it's always the exact same 5 minutes conversation, mm-hmm. with exact same words, exact same questions and same answers in the same order. Mm-hmm. And that drives me crazy.
Okay, but why do you think that is?
I think we are afraid to let us know how we are for real.
Yeah.
Not pretending. Mm-hmm. Because it's such small conversations, it's like small talks. And I think I'm afraid of hearing, well, you know, she's very lonely. So I think I'm feeling guilty about it. And and so it's difficult because I don't want to hear a potential pain. And I do not want to share the pain I can have on a daily basis, because I'm afraid of like adding more pain to her pain.
This is a perfect example of how we think we are responsible for other people's feelings. Yeah. And they're responsible for ours. That's what our manuals are, right? So instead of having a real connection, you pretend, both of you. You both of you people please, and you have like a little act. You guys are like puppets, and then you hang up, right? Now, your mother says she's very lonely. That's what's real for her, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
You don't want her to be lonely.
No, and I try to find solutions. Like,
okay, but wait, stay with me. Why don't you want your mother to be lonely?
Because I think it reminds me that maybe I left her alone. So it's, you know, it doesn't, I feel like I'm not a good son. So.
Right. So look, this is exactly what I'm teaching you all. When you try to control someone else's feelings, or you try to control your feelings with somebody else, you miss the person in front of you. The truth is, you have a mother who is lonely. That is not on you. That is not, you did not create that loneliness. That is not your responsibility. You're not responsible for how she feels. And it's certainly not your responsibility to fix it. Can you be present with the person and the truth of that person without making it about you? And without trying to solve it or fix it?
Yeah. But then I feel like I'm going to go into a trap forever. Okay. And that she's going to call me every 2 minutes.
But because... she's going to call you every 2 minutes because you're trying to solve her loneliness.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not your job to solve. Like, it's like when you call someone, they're like, I'm so lonely. And you're like, oh, well, let me come over. Let me call him, or let me fix it. Let me fix it. Let me do this. Let me do this. Versus like, I hear you. I hear that you're lonely. And just being present with what's true without trying to follow a manual that she would have you follow. Cause what would she'd have you call her every day and spend all your time with her?
No, the thing is now, because at one point, she was calling me so much that there has been this kind of unsaid rule that I'm going to call her.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's not, she doesn't have the right to call me, and I do not like it, but I know that she's waiting for me to call her, which is worse for me because I feel like, you know, there is this, this guilt, you know, if I do not call her, I know she's not going to call me. So,
but think about it this way. If you could talk to your mom without feeling guilty, if you could have a conversation with her without trying to fix her, without trying to make it better, to just hear where this human being whom you love, it sounds like, is in the world without making it mean anything, you might have a different experience. Your truth is you don't want to call and have a fake conversation with her. Now that I understand, because that doesn't help you grow, having a fake conversation. But being on the phone with your lonely mom and not trying to fix it and not trying to take responsibility for it and being present, now there's an opportunity for you to grow. It's a very different thing. The truth, and when you're in truth with someone and true connection, and really maybe hearing what it's like to be her, hearing that experience, even if she's blaming you for it, just being present, not taking that off. That's an opportunity for you as a human to grow, because what is the purpose of the relationship with your mother?
I think what I'm afraid of is, like, I think I need to show her the example, actually. So I need to tell more about me on a daily basis to her. And that is very frightening to me. So
why is that?
Because I feel we are strangers now. So, and I'm not sure, like, we like each other.
But like, I want you to imagine a conversation where you call your mom and you're like, Mom, here's what's real.
Yeah.
I feel like we're strangers, and I feel like you're really lonely, and I take responsibility for that, even though I know, like, and you just, like, told her all the things. Like, you have to ask yourself, what's the purpose of this relationship? Just to bide our time and to pretend like we like each other and to have this fake relationship? Or do I want to have something real? Even if it does scare me, what's it like to tell the truth? Or, and maybe the truth sounds like, I don't want to call you. I don't want to talk all the time because of this, that, or the other thing. And not in a way that's like, you know, you're intending to hurt her in any way. You're just expressing, like, what's real for you and having a real relationship. Because How do you want to feel when you talk to your mom?
Well, like myself, and it's funny because like I think I'm the fear I have is to miss her, to miss like knowing her for real, because like those last weeks she was ending the calls we have saying like, and I love you. But she never says that. I was like, oh my God, she's dying and she's not telling me anything. She's very sick. But actually it was not the case, but it was strange for me to, it was like, oh, does she have a message to send me? But actually she's fine. But yeah, I would like to talk to her like without, you know, pounding my words and you know, like really like thinking about what I'm going to say and being in the moment with her to share a moment.
Even and that's available to you.
Yes.
But it's scary for you. Yeah,
it's very scary. Yeah. It's very scary.
And I think a lot of us, we think, oh, our relationship has been this way for so long. And people say to me, it's complicated. I'm like, there's nothing complicated about it. It's so simple. You can start a conversation with mom. I want to have a totally different conversation today, but I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of scared. I'm kind of afraid. How do you think she would respond if you said something like that? Because that's what's real.
Well, I think she would be very worried, you know, like I've been actually. Like thinking that she was dying, she would be like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, what did you do? Something like that.
And what if it was just like, there's nothing to worry about. I just love you. And I want to try to do it in a different way than we've been doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk on the phone every day. But when I do talk to you, I want to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be great actually to start like that, because the problem is like, as usual, it's like there is this mirror effect. I think I'm also like not at ease because I see myself in her as well.
Yes, yes. That's so, what I'm saying. You got these, you know how many relationships are just acts? Mm. Everyone's just acting for each other. I'm going to tell you what I think you want to hear. We're going to have a conversation because we're mother and son, and we're supposed to have a conversation once a week, but nothing's real about it. Nothing. And so it's like, can you find moments of the truth and of realness and let her respond the way she does? Maybe she's going to tell you how lonely and in pain she is. That has nothing to do with you, but can you be present for what's real for your mom? And you're afraid, and maybe you could tell her that you're afraid.
Yeah, starting like that, saying that I am afraid, would be actually nice, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we all, like when you really think about it, we all just want to connect with each other. Truly, that's what we want. And when we're people pleasers, we get afraid to do that because we think it means that we're going to have to do a bunch of stuff we don't want to do. But I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do. And I don't want you to take responsibility for her emotions. But I'm suggesting you try out the truth. And the truth is your mom is really lonely, and that's okay. That's what's real. And the truth is you're really afraid, and that's okay. We don't have to change. We don't have to fix. We can just talk about it.
Yeah, also because I think as she's getting older, she has a lot of fears, and I'm like, yeah, maybe just for her to say it
would be
also such a relief.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times when someone tells us their fears, we want to try and make it less scary, or we want to try and fix it instead of just being like, yeah, I hear that you're really scared. I can see that you're scared. I can see why. And don't try and fix it. Don't try and fix the loneliness. Don't try. Just be present with what is. Don't have a manual for, well, you should be going out more and you should have more friends and you shouldn't call me so much and you should just let it be what it is. That's the beauty of, I think, relationship and humanity, when we stop trying to get people to be other than what they are. And we stop trying to be other than what we really are. You're afraid and she's lonely. That's how you should lead the conversation.
It's 11 in the evening in yes. Paris. Now, you know, I'm going to call her now. So she's going to be very afraid. And what happened? What happened?
Very afraid, mother, to talk to you. What? Why? No, do not call her that late. But I do think, like, when you think about, and this is for all of us, when you think about the moments in your relationships where you're touched, it's when you're willing to be the most vulnerable and tell the most truth. And don't expect her to behave any certain way. Do it for you. And then you won't have to have these obnoxious pretend conversations anymore.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And this is for all of you. Stop pretending. Stop pretending in your relationships. Stop people pleasing. Stop having manuals. Stop trying to control other people. Stop allowing them to pretend. Be in the truth of who you are and find the humanity in the person in front of you without trying to change them or fix them. I promise you, your life will be so much richer. All right, my friends, we will talk next week about lovability and unconditional love. I cannot wait. I'll see you then.